Welcome to another edition of the Type 1 Radio Lounge. I am Sonic, and I am joined by the Swarmy. Hello, Swarmy.
Namaste and blessings. May everyone's richness and joy increase.
And I'm sure we will be joined by our cohorts, Steve and Fajic, shortly. They don't appear to be on Skype at the moment. Oh, no, here they are. I'll add them to the call. So,
lovely.
Well, I'm doing that. Remember, we are broadcasting here on type1radio.com. And you can listen to us in the player. If you probably are, if you're hearing this.
Well, yeah, if you're here, yeah.
And you can all, yeah. There's also our archive listeners. Let's.
Hello.
Namaste.
Hello.
And namaste to you too.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We're live.
Ah. Wonderful.
Is Steve nearby?
Quite nearby, yep. He can hear.
Okay.
But you probably won't hear him if he says something. I think he might be just obtaining refreshment.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
So, how's it going this evening? Sorry for interrupting. So I hope we haven't interrupted the flow of things. Just carry on.
We were
filling time till y'all showed up.
Ah, right. And okay. It's been very busy.
So we'll fill a bit more time.
Yes, apologies. We have been mega super busy lately. There must be something going on in the star system or something. But it's all been good and bad. We're just dealing with it.
There you go. That's the advantage of being balanced, is to be able to approach each situation and deal with it as it must be dealt with, whether it be joyful or horrible. So, well done.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way to go. So,
well, there isn't another way. Well, I suppose there is. One can just fail at everything and then, you know, suicide.
And yeah, just let everything get completely on top of you. And
So
you've just got to, you know, things happen. Just take a deep breath and go, right, okay, time for the next thing. And yeah, it gets to a point where you just go, right, well, what's the next thing going to be? Okay, I knew it was going to be something, and just deal with that thing.
Right. So. I mean, that's where those who are mentally prepared and flexible find that mere flexibility and preparation for whatever may come becomes invaluable. You can't buy that. If you cannot adapt and implement whatever must be implemented from moment to moment, you're lost and you're screwed. And in this situation, you know, the society we live in the West, with the media, full-on media attempts to keep us frightened, well, you know, the only thing that absolutely freezes people is fear. But if you're prepped, you understand something could happen. This, that, some other thing, doesn't matter what it is. But if you're struck with fear, you can't even react properly. You give no thought, you just freeze. And that's where you lose any freedom, power, ability, talent, in that freezing.
Do you think that's what Disney's Frozen is really about?
No clue.
Frozen in fear. Because
there you go. Well, it's the thing that works best in manipulating people.
Because the song at the end is called Let It Go. So she's sort of learning to let go of her fear. I haven't watched the film.
That might be fear of breaking wind in public.
It's not fear of.
No, it's not a fear held in this household.
No, you live with a Scotsman, for God's sake. Well, there has been quite a lot of fear going around in over the last couple of weeks, even though the Brussels situation does seem to go out of the news. It was in the news all of for a while, everything, and then it's not really in the news much now, is it?
Nope.
And then it's gone. Yeah.
Because now they got the Panama Papers to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yes.
So it's.
Yeah, they don't really. I was just going to say, they don't really like to actually focus on these things for too long. They like to just kind of give you a soundbite of fear and don't look too closely at it. Otherwise, you might actually begin to see that it's a bit kind of thin on facts. So just move on to the next thing really quickly. And, of course, the Panama Papers will be over and done with quite soon. And, I think actually, Steve, you've got some information you wanted to impart regarding the Panama Papers and Cameron and all that. Or just a reminder of things we've spoken about in the past.
It's not really news that David Cameron's dad was a bit of a shyster. I mean, his grandfather, after all, was the guy who formed the company which is now known as HSBC, which is the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank, which was formed way back in the 18 blah blah blahs to launder the money from the opium trade.
Yeah.
And there's a direct paper link straight to the Camerons dynasty, and this is where their money came from, so it's nothing new. But the fact that he's squirming or being made to squirm publicly is quite amusing, because he gave this passionate speech through the week saying, "All I have is a salary from being Prime Minister. I have a house that I rent out because I live at 10 Downing Street. I have some savings which I get interest from, and that's all I have." Fuck off, you wanker. You've got your money to an Astor, for God's sake.
Trust fund kid.
The Astors.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
The Astors are renowned fucking horrible bastards. Well, she's the heir apparent to it all. So.
We went to their family pile last week to Hever Castle. And that is that. You know, they sort of like the old house, but at the back they've there's a lot more buildings that the there's like.
She owns that.
And they're also linked to the Waldorf family, aren't they? For our American listeners, Hever Castle is, Henry VIII, this was his first wife's abode, Anne Boleyn. Lovely place.
Uh-huh.
But looking around it, that I was saying to Howard, there's like a massive lake and this really ornate water feature, like fountain. And in like a semicircle, looking out into the lake, I was like, "Could you imagine
the one that has the money in it?"
Yeah, the dodgy party is going on here.
Throw money in.
Yes. there was
I went there with some youngsters, they were not putting money in there. They were getting money out of it.
Much like the Camerons do with their offshore
things.
Boom.
I did see a rather...
He uses the same dredging equipment, metaphorically.
I did see a rather strange sculpture in the Italian gardens there of what appeared to be a lady and a goose making out.
No.
Yeah.
Perhaps he was a big fan of pate.
Yeah, she was trying to get some foie gras. Yeah. Very strange. Anyway, back to the Panama Papers. One of the people exposed, he's very quickly fallen on his sword, isn't he, in Iceland?
That's right.
Which seems quite strange, considering, in the New World Order view, they do not want what they would refer to as perhaps Iceland disease to go viral, where they start locking up bankers and just deny any debt. But, and this is what Iceland did. And now the prime minister has to walk.
Yeah, well, so do you not think that is interesting? That could have been done. He could have been put there to later this happen in order to put into the minds of people that, Iceland is corrupt. Obviously that sort of, those sort of families that he's, involved in. And he does look very much like a fat version of Zach Goldsmith. So it'd be, if they're related, that'd be, another tangent, wouldn't it?
And it's not so much that, you're going to, there's always going to be dodgy politicians, just like there are dodgy people everywhere, but it's how the public deal with it when they find out they do have dodgy politicians. And I think that's so far been, to the credit of the Icelandic people.
Mm. Yeah. And him, he didn't drag his heels. He sort of went quite quickly, did he? So fair play to him.
Yeah. I think he's in choice there.
But what'll be interesting is to see who replaces him.
Well,
because they're not advanced his bailout planned ahead of time, so he may have a very comfortable nest to land in. But then, who comes next? It's just interesting to watch these shenanigans play out everywhere.
Yeah,
and this Swami has found it extremely interesting that in the cursory examination of the reporting on the Panama Papers, no big time American politicians yet.
There's no, apart from Cameron and his dad, there's no real European, the Icelandic guy and Cameron's dad, but apart from that, not really any American or European people at all. It is more like Africa, the Middle East, and Russia.
In Russia, yeah. But as it's quite amusing because the old Sepp Blatter thing that we touched upon a few months ago, he was replaced as the head of FIFA, which is the soccer federation, Swami, and our American friends sort of thing. A guy called Gianni Infantino won he was the vice president of UEFA, which is the European Federation of Soccer. He made it to the head of FIFA, but he's been indicted in some TV deal, which is in these papers. And funnily enough, the very person who rumbled Sepp Blatter Blatter, who is the head of the ethics committee at FIFA, has been uncovered as one of these people. So the head of the ethics committee of FIFA, who is supposedly has brought the bad down, is himself a baddie. It's like, hey, what? So there's obviously shenanigans going down somewhere.
Well,
go ahead, Tommy.
To sort of segue into this in an obtuse way, came across a fact, well, a string of facts here, that a media source called Capitol Hill Blue that did some research on Congress at that time. Now, this is several years old. But this was the state of the Congress of the United States. Kindly allow this Swami to point some of these things out. 111 members of the House and Senate have run at least two businesses that went bankrupt, most of them leaving their business partners and creditors hanging before becoming senators and congressmen. 79 of them have credit reports so bad they cannot get an American Express card on their own. 64 have personal and financial problems so serious they would be denied security clearances by the Department of Defense or the Department of Energy if they had to apply through normal channels. But as members of Congress, they get clearance simply because they fooled enough people to get elected. 31 members of Congress have been accused of spousal abuse in either criminal or civil proceedings. 33 members of Congress have driving while intoxicated arrests on their driving records. 24 are or have been defendants in various lawsuits ranging from bad debts, disputes with business partners, and other civil matters. 9 members of Congress have been accused of writing bad checks, even after the scandal several years ago, which resulted in the closing of what was then an informal house bank that routinely allowed members to overdraw their accounts without any penalty. And 17 had drug-related arrests in their backgrounds. 6 have shoplifting, 5 fraud, 4 for assault, and 1 for criminal trespass. Isn't that an interesting...
That last bit sounded like the partridge in a pear tree.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's why this Swami is finding it interesting that so few Western men of means have been brought up at all in this Panama Papers.
Yeah, but they obviously don't use
this
Panama.
This would seem... Or most likely it's the British Virgin Islands, because this company, Mossack Fonseca, whatever the legal is that made all this stuff, these tax havens and that, is only the 4th largest group that does this in Panama. It isn't even the biggest. So it would seem, yes, Belize does this, British Virgin Islands. This is a very popular offshore, activity. Like, when we were young, you'd hear about those with a Swiss bank account.
Yeah. Well, the overrun it through.
This is just the model.
The overrun it through Holland now. There was a show.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, but Holland in the EU, there's the way that the tax, the way that the funds system works, you can't, you have to have it offshore. Yeah, you have, obviously you have to have it offshore, but you can't have it bouncing back into the UK straight away. So Holland has got, you know, within their banking system, they have this function. So loads and loads of money just gets filtered through Holland. There was a show on the BBC a few months back about a town in Wales, maybe, where they were worried about you know, big multinational corporations coming in and, you know, getting the feel of the village, you know, just homogenizing the village. So they were using the techniques like Google and Starbucks to avoid tax by, they made like a consortium and then, you know, went and to the Isle of Man and set up a company there because the Isle of Man's like tax free. And then they had to bounce it through Holland back to the UK. The way that it's the way that it's bounced around, you know, like this Panama is just like, yeah, like say just one little company, but there's so many places around the globe that utilize these systems.
Swami would almost be willing to place a wager that more than a few of those who have been hit with this brush, rightly, wrongly, or neutrally, are going to be coming out with information that is very damaging to the current Federal Reserve people, the current Western politicians. Now, you know, Cameron excluded because he's already in the grinder. But if they do this limited hangout, throw a couple of their boys under the bus, this then starts a discrediting of any of the others as well. You know?
I'm just on
And they all do this stuff, you know?
I'm just on the ICU's, no, ICIJ's website here.
Right.
You know, panamapapers.org. And they've actually got a game on the website to see if you can tax dodge. So they've got like a football player.
I would bet you a nickel that the ICIJ people were heavily funded and supported by Mr. Soros.
Oh, yeah, and also they've got a donate button. Donate to us. And also leak to us. ICIJ encourages whistleblowers to securely submit content that might be of public concern. And then they'll copyright it. And then all the stuff that they want out will come out. And all the stuff that they don't want out will be binned. Or sent to the NSA.
I think Swami's right with Mr. Soros, but I'll bet he's got a partner called Mr. Modoc somewhere lurking behind, because Cameron got fucking well scapegoated over the phone hacking thing, and you know Rebecca Lewis who got off with that thing. And they're reported, I mean there's a conspiracy that they two had an affair at one time, that's the reason why she got off. No, Cameron and Rebecca Lewis had an affair, allegedly. And it was Cameron's brother, who is the top barrister in London. He runs the biggest firm, who got her off. And it was basically, you know, this was alleged by UK Column that, you know, they've got a dossier as thick as a, you know, a salami of shit on Cameron sort of thing, and his family sort of thing. So he's probably just taking a rap because he's going anyway. He's going next term. He's only going to do this term sort of thing,
right,
isn't he? And he's going to go. But it looks like they're kind of trying to shoehorn him out, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because he's fucked. He can't. I mean, he's said over the years, you know, people can't hide from paying taxes. It's one of his mantras. It's one of his fucking things he says. And
what was it he said about? What was it he said about that comedian when he was?
Oh yeah.
Jimmy Carr.
Alan Carr, was it?
Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carr. Yeah. It's bollocks. I mean, he's got to be. It looks like he's going to get, you know, trampled on because he's stumbling over publishing his tax returns, which he said he would do, sort of thing. And you've got to, as a politician, list everything anyway. So he's broken, you know. Is that perjury? Fucking hell.
Not if he isn't talking to a judge. Unless you're talking to the judge, so then
but he'll have broken
if you're talking to the public, you can lie all you want.
He's probably broken his public oath of office, though, isn't he?
Oh, for sure he has. Yeah. Where do you get the? Is it just something off the top of your own head, Swami, when you say Soros?
Well, because Soros is very closely tied with a number of things, at least going on here in the U.S. He's also well known as being the guy who upsets financial markets, countries, so that they become ripe takeover and change.
Oh, he's alleged to be one of the nine. He's definitely alleged to be one of the nine, isn't he? Yeah. So,
he was behind all that stuff here at Ferguson. In Ferguson, Missouri, where the black kid was shot by the cop after he attacked the cop.
It was him that put his weight behind the Scottish thing, Bill. Yeah, he put his weight behind the Scottish thing. He put his weight behind the Scottish to leave the United Kingdom sort of thing, so that's why that was all stepped up a bit, because he had vested interest in what's going on over here sort of thing. Well, he's got... This is interesting what's going on in the whole world, isn't he? He's just, he's definitely a player.
Sure. But see, this is why, you know, this Swami is just looking at this and going, not one American sports figure who are worth millions and millions and millions and got to stick it somewhere. Not one American politician who everyone, you know, anyone who spends 5 minutes looking into it, these guys all retire from Congress and the Senate very wealthy.
Yeah.
So they've got to stick their stuff somewhere. Where are the CEOs of the banks?
Yeah. Like
they don't know how to play the game. You know? Yeah, this is a very select group of people that have been exposed.
And it is just going after the people, not in the institutions as well. Hambrose Bank. I'm just... apparently there's over... it's within this, there's like over 900 offshore accounts. 979. With SG Ambrose, which is like Societe Generale, which is like a French like high street bank.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a building society,
kind of
deal. Yeah, apparently Lionel Messi is the only sort of sports star we can find who's embroiled in it.
Well,
Lionel Messi being a huge... He's a soccer player. He's Argentinian. He plays for Barcelona. He's the best player ever, allegedly. You know, he scored like 8,000 bazillion goals in one game and stuff like that.
We've spoken about him before because he's a bit of a super soldier of football world.
Yeah. He was brought up. He had back problems when he was a kid, and Barcelona paid for this kind of hormone treatment, which, you know, turned him into a great footballer. all of a sudden, you know, from being a crippled child to being like, you know, better than Pele and Maradona.
That's like the story of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
In the film Deadpool, the guy, I think he gets really beaten up or something, and this shadowy group come in and inject him with all these hormones and stuff like that, and they make him like indestructible.
No. Just on the fraud accusations there as well, with the money laundering. His family have dismissed any suggestions that he's involved, but Messi has been charged with tax fraud in a separate case that's due to go on trial in May. So that's the situation around Messi. What were you going to say, Steve?
So Barcelona in general, this is very messy. Well, they've got there's about three or four sort of cases of tax fraud and sort of shit going down with Barcelona players. And Barcelona, so I think we mentioned this before when we talked about the Messi sort of super soldier angle, was that for years Barcelona didn't have a sponsor. They used to put UNICEF on their shirts. So there's another little odd thing. You know, they've only recently sort of taken a sponsor because they're in such dire straits financially. So I mean, it's probably because of all the fucking legal bills they've got to pay from going to court over these. There's a guy called Mascherano, who is also Argentinian, plays for Barcelona, and he is he's a hair's breadth away from going to jail. Him and his father, because all these Barcelona, Argentinian, South American footballers, their parents are their agents, and they're owned by about six different interests. You know, there's this sort of like, you know, hedge funds who bought into their development and, you know, get a cut of his earnings sort of thing. Although, so say Lionel Messi earns 12 million euros a year, which is, I think, is just about what he gets, that gets divvied up to like loads of different parties who have, you know, paid into him in the past, sort of thing.
It sounds like a tangent on the Boys from Brazil, doesn't it? You know, all this Nazi money goes into Argentina.
That's more Luis Suarez, because Luis Suarez is Uruguayan. Uruguay, and that's where Mengele went to, wasn't it? That's where the film was based out of, and he fucking bites people. Do you know who Luis Suarez is?
Yeah.
He's bitten like three players whilst playing because he just gets so angry. I mean, he's brilliant sort of thing, but he's well possibly a boy from Brazil.
Just to mention as well that the president of Argentina is involved in the Panama Papers leak. wasn't the World Cup due to be in Qatar? Okay, so the former Prime Minister of Qatar is linked with this as well as the former Emir of Qatar.
It's nice that they've done all the little cartoons of the people. I think nice touch. You know, don't you think that the website is a little bit too polished to be like in all intents and purposes, this is like a WikiLeaks leak, isn't it?
Yeah.
A WikiLeaks type leak.
Perception management tool.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got word from someone who absolutely knows what they're talking about, very highest office in the land sort of thing, and saying there's never any leaks that are, by accident. They're all fucking planned, every one of them.
It's just too polished, the website.
Yeah, I mean, the only sort of like cherry on the cake is Cameron squirming like a fucker.
Yeah. That's like a pig fucker.
He's happy about it. Shit, a pig fucker. Like the pig fucking fucker that he is. Yeah. It'd be fucking great if he had to resign, wouldn't it? It'd be the best ever. It'd be like. Fucking give us Boris. We don't care. Just let him hang.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but then he'd have to. He could only stay until the next time. Don't you think it's quite interesting that Georgie boy, old Gideon, is being very fucking quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's got a little shitty mouth anyway, sort of thing. So, I mean, his dad's fucking Osborne and Little, the sort of wallpaper manufacturers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not telling me they fucking sell that much wallpaper? Fuck off. He's an arms dealer.
Yes.
That's why I refuse. No, he is. He's fucking. I worked on this huge job once and at a place called Empire House, which is opposite the Victoria and Albert Museum.
All right, yeah.
And it's classed as a flat, an apartment, but it's got 20 rooms. Do you know what I mean? You probably know it. It's got a dome on it and all that. It's huge house right on Compton Road, yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy who bought it had been like this massively successful investment banker, and he was a high flying Jew guy, and he retired at sort of 50, and he put his passion into catching Nazi war criminals. That was his big thing. He set up this big trust and was, that's what he was dedicating the rest of his life to. And we were decorating this flat, right, this apartment, and we were using fucking Solvite paste to put the wallpaper on with, you know, to the adhesive to put the wallpaper up with. Now, Solvite is made by Henkel, who are the fucking company that made the gas for the for the concentration camps. So he made a
Zyklon B.
Faux pas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Henkel are the company that made it, yeah.
That sounds like a Jewish company.
He made us. I know, doesn't it? Henkel already. But he made us strip all the wallpaper off, right, and wash the walls. And then fucking, like, redo it with a stuff called Rex, which is horrible. It's like a British-made adhesive. It's dreadful something. And I've forgotten why I told you that. Why did I tell you that?
Because it dovetails into what's going on.
No. I'll forget it. Sorry, listeners. I just got on.
Have you got the bong ready?
No. Just a.
Okay. Y'all just go bong for me.
Please. Bong!
There we go. Headline. Missouri family forced to destroy their home garden thanks to new city ordinance. No citizen shall be allowed to grow their own food. More and more, our elected leaders have taken it upon themselves to abuse our trust, abuse our rights, and do whatever they can to ensure we remain wedded to, quote, the system, unquote. The one that they control, of course. Long gone are the days when our founding fathers, or even our grandfathers, valued the attributes of individuality and self-sufficiency. As another example of this from Missouri now demonstrates, in Sugar Creek, Missouri, population 3,345, it is now illegal to grow food on your own property, and if you try, not only will you be required to destroy your garden, you'll be subjected to fines and no doubt eventually jail if you fail to destroy the garden. As reported by KSHB in Kansas City, Missouri, Sugar Creek City Councilman passed an ordinance a few days ago making it illegal to grow a vegetable garden in the front yard of homes. One resident, Mr. Athens, who prides himself in being able to provide food security for his family, believes the new ordinance is aimed directly at him. As the local news team reported, Mr. Athens grows a number of different vegetables on his front lawn, and spends a great deal of time caring for his garden and working to improve its bounty. Quote, I'd probably say about 300 hours so far in 2016, I spend all my free time out there, he told the local news crew. Again, a big part of the reason he spends so much time there is because he's trying to care for his family. Quote, I want them to know where their food is coming from, he told the news crew. I don't want to have to go to the grocery store and worry about what was done to that food. But nosy neighbors and authoritarian city officials don't share his view or enthusiasm. Last summer, the city cited Athens for weeds in his garden, but he says he complied with the order to remove them. We did it completely weed-free, and we then paid our citation, he said. A city official, Paul Loving, disagreed, however. Quote, I don't know that there would have been a problem with them had the gardens been well kept. But they weren't, he said, referencing the new ordinance, which says that food cannot be grown within 30 feet of a city street. Athens says he can't grow garden in the backyard because it's heavily shaded and he only gets about 2 hours of sunlight a day, even during the long summer days. Loving claims the city was receiving too many complaints about the garden, so officials decided the ordinance was the only way to deal with that, rather than, say, telling the Butinsky neighbors that the property belongs to Mr. Athens and that his taxes and fees for the property are not delinquent and they are hurting no one by growing food. Because, quote, because I want my yard a certain way doesn't mean the neighborhood has to keep their yard the same way. But I do have an expectation we'll all be reasonable in what we put in our front yards, Councilman Loving said. Guess the city doesn't have to be reasonable, though. Meanwhile, others are finding ways to turn their small tracts of land into food production zones, as reported by homesteading.news. The site notes that every bit of space can be used in some way to grow food due to advancing technologies. Also, the site notes that increasingly in small communities, suburbs, and even in larger cities, so-called community food plots are on the rise as citizens transform unused lots and other plots of land into useful agricultural space. So, now, one might be curious about this, why city councils, why government would care in the least bit whether you have a tomato plant or a whole bunch of tomato plants and peppers and lettuce and cabbage and strawberries and whatever else you want to grow in your front yard. Here's a little note from a few years ago, but this plays well into this story. Anyone unfamiliar should take some time to look up and get familiar with Executive Order 13603, which states, at a time of the president's choosing, the federal government will take over, quote, all forms of energy, all forms of civil transportation, all usable water from all sources, all commodities and products that are capable of being ingested by either human beings or animals, and all health resources, drugs, biological products, medical devices, materials, facilities, health supplies, and services. Now, if you weren't hip to this particular thing, this effectively means at the stroke of a pen, which in the, well, let's go over some of the actual what's in this executive order. Quote, food resources, end quote, means all commodities and products, simple, mixed, or compound, or complements to such commodities or products that are capable of being ingested by either human beings or animals, irrespective of other uses to which such commodities or products may be put, at all stages of processing, from the raw commodity to the products thereof, in vendable form for human or animal consumption. Quote, food resources, end quote, also means potable water packaged in commercially marketable containers, all starches, sugars, vegetable, and animal or marine fats and oils, seeds, cotton, hemp, and flax fiber, but does not mean any such material after it loses its identity as an agricultural commodity or agricultural product. Quote, food resource facilities, end quote, means plants, machinery, vehicles, including farm implements such as tractors, trucks, and other facilities required for the production, processing, distribution, and storage, including cold storage, of food resources and for the domestic distribution of farm equipment and fertilizer. So, if you thought that by stockpiling cans of cat food that you and your fluffy felines would be safe and have food come martial law, come whether it be an emergency or non-emergency, that is also spelled out in this executive order. Keep and control anything. And this is already on. There you go.
You right?
Wow. So, yep.
And that's just the food part of this executive order, the National Resources Defense Act.
So that's what this is what Caroline was talking about with her property, I'm sure, in St. Louis, which is also in Missouri. It seems like that Missouri is being run by a load of like Nazi type people.
Oh, yeah. Only perhaps a little bit better than Illinois, but none.
Well, that is known as misery, yeah. Isn't it?
This is going on all over the country. And this Swami read a story not long ago discussing the San Luis area in Colorado, where a number of people have moved in order to go off-grid to run solar, dig wells, all that. Well, this, you know, this is in place to ensure there is no possible way of stockpiling, of growing, of transporting any food at all in this country. And it's on the books, ready to go at the stroke of a pen.
Only the government can do that then.
Exactly, because when that pen, but regardless who's holding it, whomever is in the presidential slot at the time they decide to implement this or go under martial law, all control and basically ownership of everything from transportation, energy, food, health, all goes under the direct control of the president and their cabinet. If you have solar panels, those now belong to and are under the control of the Department of Energy. That's how it is. That is just a signature away.
So couldn't they effectively go to Walmart and confiscate all their food? Or, you know, to the Walmart warehouses, wherever it's stockpiled? You know, like... Yeah.
Well, the Walmarts are going to be closed down, turned into FEMA camps. Because the people are going to need the food. See, like Kissinger said,
the government is just going to steal
with
food.
Oil, you control countries, and with food, you control people. Mm-hmm. So people will be suiciding or going to FEMA facilities in order to get food. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
So they can take the food, like I say, from, say, warehouse facilities for big food producers, you know, like, say, well, not just Walmart, because they're, like, facilitators for the food producers, but, like, yes. Say, Kraft, or, I don't know, some big company that produces something or other, sausages or cheese or, I don't know, burgers or whatever, they can just go to their warehouses and take all their stock?
Yes. And, as well, all the survival food manufacturers and distribution, all of it, all of it, it's already on the book. And it will be completely legal. See, people in the United States seem to think they own property. And that is the stupidest thing. Because if you don't pay your tax on that property yearly, you'll find out who owns it. Mm-hmm. And they will take it.
Oh, yes, the sheriff of Nottingham will send his bad guys around. That's what it's like, you know. It's protection money, isn't it? It's like a racket. It's pay us your money, or we send people round, and you got to get off that property.
Yep.
That's what tax is, effectively, really, isn't it? Because they don't really use it for anything. Well, not for the real necessities that they tell us that it should be used for. Otherwise, in this country, we'd have a fantastic health service and brilliant roads, and everything would be tickety-boo.
And
it's like we
income tax was only introduced over here to pay for the one of the wars, isn't it? Like Waterloo was.
They never stopped it.
Yeah, they never revoked. He was like, they keep paying us. Should we? No, we can't do that, can we?
As parking meters was in.
And then the next week.
Parking meters was introduced to build parking lots. And they made so much money from it, they thought, well, let's fucking not bother putting parking lots up. Let's just put more meters around.
Brighton Council earned the most money out of parking outside Westminster.
It's ridiculous. You know, I'm working in the middle of town at the minute, and it's £6 for an hour.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And do you know what really annoys me as well is that, okay, we've got parking meters everywhere, and people now in most areas can't park outside the front of their house if they're car is on the road without having a permit on it, which I think, how are they? How much are they a year? £120, something like that a year?
Depending on your area.
£80 a year. Yeah, it depends where you are. So that's an extra bit of forking out to give to the council that people never used to have to give out. We have the council tax, which is a tax on everybody throughout the country, no matter where you live, that you have to pay. And
they will send you to jail.
If you don't pay it. So we're just saying they now have parking meters where they're getting extra revenue and parking permits for extra revenue. They are allowing developers to knock down a family residence, which used to just house like two adults and two children sort of thing, just a family residence, and instead build sort of flats with maybe 24 flats or so, let's say 24. So there you've got 24 times
council tax.
You know, you have like two bedroom flats, you've got 24 times council tax. In fact, maybe even 48, because you build 24 flats, and if you've got two people living in them, so you've got 48 extra council taxes there. Maybe 44, because if, say, there were four people living in the property before. But anyways, you know,
on the person, though, is it, council tax? It's on the household. So
it's on the house, yeah. It's, okay, right, but
it's not like the poll tax, is it? This is watered-down poll tax. Yeah. Poll tax is everybody over the age of 18. So basically you had to pay to live, to be alive, you had to pay.
Whichever way you look at it, the council are still raking in a hell of a lot of extra revenue. And
pensions somehow.
Well, in the information that comes through with your little pack of how much you're going to pay, there's a little thing about the police force and how they divvy the money that's allocated to the police force, how it's divvied out. But, you know, the police force as well are raking in you know, they're money making systems in themselves. They're surely self-funding. The amount of money they make from the cameras on the road fining people and one thing and another. You know, you get police fines now for any stupid thing, don't you? If you're smoking in your car, or if you forget to put a child seat in your car, or something.
The other thing about the police presence now in Brighton isn't, there's no legal policemen. They're all fucking
the change in the law, though, aren't they, regarding those? So they've actually made redundant loads of community support officers. And then they're also, at the same time as they're making people redundant, they're having a recruitment drive for people, because some of the CPSOs don't want to have their job changed, so there's quite a lot of people that are just being made redundant rather than just switching over to the new system. Coming to the end of this hour, because Spotify
we'll
is
carry on this conversation.
Yeah, on the other side. We might have a tune at the end, but we haven't got a tune now. So if you all our listeners, refresh
all
your player.
Two of you.
Yeah, all two of you, refresh your player after this.